You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Yes, You Can by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Chapter, starting at verse 10, Exodus 4 and verse 10, and it reads, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto before or before now, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind?" And what it means there, who created the person who's dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? "Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, sin, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt sin." And they said, "God, please send somebody else." And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. And thou shalt be to him instead of God." And don't get that twisted. He said, "You will hear from me. He won't hear from me." Everybody think God talked to everybody the same. That ain't the truth. That ain't the truth. He will hear from me. You will hear from me. He won't hear from me. But you will tell him what I told you to say. Amen. Verse 17. "And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." I'm starting a series today. When I prepared this, I really had one message in mind. But y'all know how that goes when I get to preaching. Okay. So it's a series, since I didn't finish it. From the subject, Yes, You Can. Look, somebody say, "Yes, you can." Come on, with some attitude. Put your thing in there. Say, "Yes, you can." "I can't stop smoking." "Yes, you can." "I can't stop fornicating." "Yes, you can." "I can't stop smoking weed." "Yes, you can." Uh-oh, I'm going to go deep. This one real deep. This one real deep. "I can't get to church on time." "Yes, you can." Pointing all my fingers at you. You can get to church on time. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Let it be a job that you really like. And they told you, and they tell you, if you late one more time, no questions asked, this is over. All of a sudden, you there early in the morning making the coffee. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And so, as we started this year off, I gave you a prophetic word on New Year's Eve that God said for us here, this is being declared as a year of the stretch. That we're going to stretch this year. And God wants us to stretch this year. And I don't mean, and note I said stretch, not stressed. Some of us, we're hearing stretch and you think, oh, that means I'm going to be stressed. No, I said stretch, not stress. Stretch meaning reaching for more. Going beyond where you were. Grasping for something that looked like it was out of reach. Pursuing things that you thought you could not pursue. Going places you thought you could not go and doing things that you thought you could not do. And this came to me in first service. Stretching, you know, Pastor Marcia, every now and then she goes to this Christian yoga place. Christian yoga. It sounds almost like a contradiction to me. But it's Christian yoga. That way you ain't down there humming to some demon. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they do yoga. You know, got to make sure. So it's Christian yoga. And she told me, she said, she came back. She said, "Oh, I feel so good. I'm just stretched out. I'm just stretching." She said, "You ought to go down there." I said, "Oh, no, no, no. You ain't hurting me. They ain't hurt. I don't go places voluntarily to be hurt. I just don't. Some of y'all, that's why I really ain't trying to get no trainer, because a trainer will hurt you. And I ain't going to pay nobody to hurt me. Okay, anyway. And so, but even my granddaughter is in, she goes to gymnastics. And she's it's like hours. How many hours a week she's been in gymnastics? You know, like twice a week for 3 hours. Okay, I mean, she's eight, and so she spends 6 hours a week in dinner. And so every time I see her, I say, show me something else that you've learned. And she'll show me a new turn. She'll tell me a new flip. She'll tell me a new handstand. Okay, and she showed me those splits and all that. And it hurt me looking at it. Y'all, brother, y'all know what I'm talking about? You see people, you're like, oh, Jesus. Jesus. You know, it hurt me to even look at it. But some of us, you know, and then sometimes people, when they're working out or they're trying to do those things, and I've watched them doing, you know, they may get so far and their trainer pushes them down. See, and they're telling them, no, it's not that you can't do it. You just got to stretch. See, stretching, it does not mean doing something you can't do. It means maximizing what you can do. And so stretching is maximizing our faith. Stretching is maximizing the anointing that's on your life. Stretching means maximizing what God has given you. Years ago, when we were down on River Drive, down the road there, our church was growing. This is in the late 90s, and we had our first room there, that first sanctuary or worship area. We could get 80 people down there. I almost wish I had those chairs today. But those chairs was the restaurant chairs. The restaurant chair with the curved backs. Because with those chairs, you sat right up in those chairs. See, some of y'all back here using them. See, I need to get a bunch of those restaurant chairs so y'all be sitting right up straight. Okay? There wasn't no stretching out on those chairs. Okay? And they weren't pew chairs that go together and all that. But I could get 80 in there. And so we had 80. And so then we went to two services. And then before we left there, we were three services on Sunday morning, three services with 80 each. So that we maximized around 240 people, you know. And then we had this warehouse next door. But I started believing God for a building. I said, Lord, we need another building. And Lord said, no, you got a warehouse next door. You got to maximize where you are. It's not that you need another building. You need to maximize where you are. And so then I started casting vision and raising money. And we renovated that warehouse. And we put up sheetrock. I put up, you know, and I designed it, y'all, without a piece of paper, without an architect. The only problem with that, it was all in my head. And so everybody sat around. If I went to go get some supplies, everybody sat around because nobody knew how to do anything. I said, no, we're going to put this there. That had no plans. Okay. And then an architect later on came and saw every work we did. He said, who planned this for you? I said, I did. Where the plans? I said, right here. And he looked at me. He said, did you get a permit for this? I said, the Lord permitted me to do it. Sometimes what you don't know is good, you know. And so the Lord told me we didn't need another building. We need to maximize where we were. And so the word for you in to stretch, you're going to need to maximize what God's already told you. Maximize your anointing. Maximize your gifts. Maximize your talent. You don't need something new. You need to maximize where you are. Stretch means you thought you couldn't reach it just because you weren't maximizing the full length of your capabilities. Are y'all listening to me? And so God often calls us and speaks to us and even sends us to do things that challenge our natural ability. And it doesn't mean we don't have it. It means we got to stretch to believe him for it. And whenever we feel challenged to stretch beyond our natural ability, the natural response is, I can't do it. I can't do it. Sometimes just because something seems hard, we feel, I can't do it. But God's supernatural response to our natural response is, yes, you can. Look at somebody else, tell them, yes, you can. When President Obama ran for president initially, was it 2008? Right, in 2008, you remember his campaign motto or slogan was, yes, we can. We all know why he had that motto, because just the fact of an African American, and everybody in their mind in the natural say, no, ain't no way an African American won't ever be president of the United States, you know. And so he kept casting vision by telling folks, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. He was telling people, stretch what you see. Go beyond what you have seen and be willing to see something different. Are y'all hearing me? And that's what God's telling us this year. Be willing to see beyond what you see. Be willing to go beyond what you've done. And that is the case when God is challenging us. We feel challenged to pursue beyond our natural abilities and even our desires. We usually come up with excuses. And from the time that God spoke to Moses in the text there at the burning bush, Moses had a list of excuses. And what you're reading, what I read there from the text of Exodus 4, 10 through 17, was Moses' last excuse. The last excuse was, I can't talk. He said, watch this. He said, I wasn't too good at talking before I saw that burning bush. And now the bush really messed me up, because I ain't never seen no bush that burned. You know, some of y'all seen bush before, right? But the bush usually burn up. This bush was an everlasting bush. Somebody got a contact when I said that. This was a bush that didn't stop burning. And he said, I couldn't talk before. And now, since you talk to me through a burning bush that don't stop burning, is not consumed, now I really can't talk. And God got angry, because what I'm going to show you throughout this series, I'm saying a series, hopefully it won't be more than two messages, but you know, that every excuse he raised, God eliminated it. Because when God tells you to do something, God never calls you to do something that you can't do with his help. Are you hearing me? God never calls you to do something that you can't do with his help. And so the first thing God said, who's telling you to do it? First of all, I mean, what we know now from New Testament theology is that every word of God has power. Just the fact that God will call you, he doesn't make a mistake. He knows your abilities. He knows your limitations. He knows your education or lack thereof. He knows where you came from. He knows where you're planning on going. Are you hearing me? He knows what you done last year and what you did last night and what you think about doing tomorrow. And he still calls you. Which means, despite anything you're thinking, despite anything that you've done, when I put my hand on you, you can do anything I'll call you to do. You know, I've been, for some reason, I just found myself lately meditating a whole lot, maybe because of the year of stress, meditating a whole lot about Peter walking on the water. Okay? And it occurred to me, I never taught it before, that as Peter's walking on the water, the Bible said he began to sink when he saw the wind, when he saw the wind and saw the waves. But he asked Jesus, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Jesus bids him to come, and he walks on the water. But when he began to see the wind and the waves, then he began to sink. It occurred to me when you read the scriptures that before he stepped out of the water, the wind was already blowing and the waves was already flowing. Y'all ain't catching me here. It's not that all of a sudden wind and waves started coming. No, now he just lost his focus. Because see, when God calls you, he don't tell you what the weather is. When God tells you to do anything, he doesn't give you a weather forecast. And so it was already stormy when he came out on the water and he began to walk toward Jesus, but he lost focus Listen, you got to stay focused on what God said, no matter how much wind is blowing and how many waves are rolling. Are y'all hearing me? Just stay focused on what God said. The wind and the wave don't stop what God says. Storms don't stop what God says. Politics don't stop what God said. Democrats don't stop what God said. Republicans don't stop what God said. Tweets don't stop what God said. Tell somebody, I'm just going to stay focused on what God said. You hear all kinds of things. I keep telling y'all, I use this example, I've used this for years. You know, people get all upset, stop coming to church, stop trying to do something because they heard somebody was talking about it. You know, you go home, you say, listen, last week I didn't want to tell you, but so-and-so called me and they were talking about you. And you all upset and you all discouraged. Now you got depression because somebody was talking about you. All week you was doing fine until you heard they were talking about you. And they wasn't talking about you when you heard it. They were talking about you before you heard it. So obviously what they said didn't affect your life. Come on now. Folks talking about you can't affect your life unless you stop and focus on what they're saying rather than what you know about yourself. Now, I got to be honest with you. I had to learn that. I had to learn that as a pastor of a mega church, and this church started growing and all that. You know, I people used to say all kinds of things, and then I started rejoicing about it. People used to lie about me and say all kinds of things. When we was over on River Drive, people started telling folks we had ATM machines in the church. You know, people lied and said when you join this church, you got to give us a W-2. How many of y'all heard that? Lord Jesus, I'm sorry, that don't affect me. Where people get this stuff from? When you join this church, you got to show us a W-2. Can I tell you this? We're not interested in your W-2. Know why? Because your W-2 shows what you got last year. You can't tithe from last year. You got to tithe from this year. And in this church, we believe the law gonna increase you more and more. Come on. So we ain't looking back. We looking forward. Oh, you come on. So we ain't focused on what you used to make, glory to God. We believe God blessing you right now. God's increasing you right now. And it used to really bother me that people heard that people said this and people said that. One time, they said, one of the funniest ones we ever heard, they said we had money wallpaper in our church with dollar signs, wallpaper in our, what's the Epic building. Y'all heard that one too? We had money wallpaper. And I don't even know what money wallpaper looked like, but I'm thinking about getting me some now. And so when I heard that, I started rejoicing. I said, know what the folks saw in the spirit? We surrounded by money. Look, somebody say, I'm surrounded by money. Go ahead and put some money wallpaper up in your house, in your room. Say, I'm everywhere. I lay down. I'm just surrounded by money. And I used to really be concerned about what people were saying. And the Lord just told me, stay focused. If I give you a word, stay focused. You done studied these scriptures. You done prayed over this. You hear one person say something. And now you go down this rabbit trail, you know, about somebody who ain't even there no more. You see how distracting that is? And so when God says you can do something, forget about what other people are saying. Stay focused. So in Exodus 3, Moses starts giving God excuses. Giving God excuses why he could not be the one to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And so let's pick this up. Let's pick this up. Look at Exodus the third chapter. So God appears to Moses after he gets his attention from this burning bush. He gets his attention, man, long time ago, and he calls him. He says, watch this. Can I tell you this? The story ain't about the bush. It's so good. This story is not about the bush. It's not about the non-consuming fire. God just used that to get his attention. Sometimes we get too distracted by things that all God was trying to do was just use that to get your attention. You focusing on that, and God said, you got to go beyond that. I just use that to get your attention. Glory to God. Listen, watch this. I know you had a foreclosure, but I, I'll just use that to get your attention, to let you know I'm a great provider. And when I bless you with this next house, ain't nobody going to be able to take that one from you. Glory to God. Stop focusing on the thing that God just used to get your attention. And so now he has God's attention. God has his attention, and God starts talking to him. Exodus 3, starting verse 7. And the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And Moses is like, yes. And I heard the cry by reason of their taskmasters. By now, Pharaoh got mad at him. The new Pharaoh got mad at him. He's scared of him. He make him make brick without straw. He's not giving them any days off, not allowing them to observe the Sabbath or any of these things. And so God says, I see how hard the taskmasters are being, their masters are being on them. He said, if I know their sorrows, and Moses is like, yes. He says, and then God, verse 6, and Moses gets really excited about this. And God said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and I'm going to bring them up out of that land unto a good and a large land. It's a land that's going to flow with milk and honey. In other words, all kind of good stuff going to be in that land. It's a place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, the mosquito bite, and termites, and the snake bites. And Moses is like, yes! Now, we know this was something that was dear to Moses. The reason why Moses is in the wilderness, because he saw how hard one of the masters was being on a Hebrew. And he killed the man and buried him in the sand and thought that nobody saw it. And the next day, when he went to get on somebody else, the man said, what you going to do? You going to kill us the way you killed that man yesterday and buried him in the sand? Moses, oh, man, I thought nobody saw that. So now he takes off and he flees. But the reason why Moses was doing that, because he was concerned about how bad God's people were being treated. Can I tell you that the thing that bothers you the most, the thing that irritates you the most, is many times the thing that God wants to use you to remedy. The thing that aggravates you the most. People can talk about me preaching about money and prosperity. You know why? Because I hate poverty. See, some people, comedians joke about poverty. I hate poverty. Poverty keeps you from being able to be a good mother or father to your children. Well, you say, why? Because when you ought to be hugging them, you're beating them because you're so stressed that you're broke. Oh, y'all don't like me now. Yeah. Poverty makes you lose all your teeth. Because the only time you go to a dentist, like when I was raised, is when your teeth are impacted with cavities and you got to get it out. You don't have six month checkups when you have, come on, don't y'all get mad about me. Don't make me count your teeth. Because when you're poor, you don't have 6 month cleanings. Come on now. Poverty make you pull up to the gas station and get $2.50 worth of gas and then try to stand there. And you was finished in 30 seconds. You standing there like. You know you finished. That's how little boys do when they go to bathroom standing by a man. Little boys finish real quick, but you stand there. Because as a man, you just stand there like, I'm a man too. Go on about your business. You know you finished, boy. Poverty. Poverty makes you stressed. Poverty breaks up marriages. Are you hearing me? Poverty breaks up marriages because everybody working overtime, three jobs, the roaches working, the mice working, everything. If you live up here, you're going to work, roach. I hate poverty. Poverty keeps you from enjoying the best that your community has to offer. I didn't even say the world. I say your community. You, when you're poverty, you ain't thinking about going to a game down at USC. Come on now. I hate poverty because poverty keeps you from living the good life.
Are your dreams and expectations on hold because you're allowing doubt and unbelief to settle in? Don't give up on your possibilities. Dr. Herbert Bailey encourages you. Yes, you can accomplish your goals and fulfill your dreams. Order this powerful message today. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Yes, You Can.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.